Disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show. Hey everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Bertie Jacobs here.
Hey there.
And we're doing another live show. We like doing these, especially during weeks when we're kind of cooling down, or when it's been really busy and we're kind of, you know, trying to take it easy a little bit. So we've got a live chat here. Big thanks to everybody who shows up for these. We're going to talk a little bit up front here about the spring season, then we'll take some questions from Twitter and the chat. But so it's the spring season's just about done. Preview Guide wraps up. We're taping this Thursday evening, so Preview Guide will wrap up tomorrow, Friday, with the show Big Order, which, as you had been mentioning, is a product of the man behind Future Diary.
Right, and is apparently pretty similar in tone, so that's exciting.
Similar in tone. So is it like
girls,
misanthropy?
Lots of girls, some of them with like yandere tendencies and the crazy sort of tweeny misanthropy, yes.
Yeah, so tween edge.
Tween edge.
Yeah, great. Well, I mean, you know, this season, like, I'm of the opinion that this is perfectly fine. This season is perfectly fine. Like, this is better than winter for sure. And
I think it's the strongest season we've had in a long time, actually.
A long time.
A little while. Like, we've got the couple big hits that we do have in a normal good season. But then, even outside of those, we have a lot of, like, modest, nice things we might have in an average season. We have all of it. So, and we have a couple outrageously bad things. Like, it's just a very discussable and very, like, energetic season.
So there's nothing that I'm, like, excited about, I would say. Like, nothing I was like, oh, shit, I gotta watch that. Mm-hmm. Like, JoJo seems like fun, but, like, I wrote it up and said, well, if you're not already watching JoJo's, you know, maybe not. Because it does kind of require you to have understood. And, of course, there was a bunch of people that came into the forums and were like, oh, you don't need to know anything. And it's like, you know, I was lost on a good third of what they were talking about in the first episode. For you to tell me, like, oh, just shrug that off and figure that you don't need to care about it.
Yeah,
like, no.
A lot of the JoJo's, like, even Stardust Crusaders, which you can technically start with, a lot of people do start with that one. Large portions of it are kind of, like, devoted to you having an affection for these characters from Battle Tendency or from Part 1. Like, even though it's not necessary to understand what's going on, like, you know, the show kind of relies on a lot of that fan service. A lot of JoJo's is fan service for people, like, looking back to their childhoods, or, in this case, like, early weebdom, or whatever the case may be. But, yeah, so, Part 4, you know, maybe start earlier, you know, something else.
Yeah, I mean, like, so I've seen Part 1 and 2, and I just haven't watched Stardust Crusaders, and I figure I absolutely have to go back and watch that. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm going to watch Part 4. But, I don't know. Maybe I'll read the manga. I'm not sure if I'm ever really going to sit down and watch all of JoJo's.
Like, I'm caught up, so I can just enjoy it as it goes.
Yeah, it must be nice, right?
Nice.
But other than that, like, nothing really caught me as, like, oh, I'm going to watch this every week. There's a bunch of stuff that I'm gonna see how it ends. And then, you know, maybe check it out afterward. What are your big... I mean, obviously, your top two, you're writing about them, right? Basically.
I don't know if Joker Game was a top two. Joker Game was just like, oh, I think this will be interesting to write about, and I'm willing to, like, put in the extra... Because this could be a headache, and it's like, I will take this headache upon myself, just in case it's a headache, and I think it's going to turn out okay. But yes, the show I'm absolutely the most excited for this season is Cabinary of the Iron Fortress. Because it is Tetsuro Araki doing his own ideas, which I don't believe he's ever really done before. He's done adaptations. He's done adaptations, and then he's done Ichiro Kuchi, who he is collaborating with again. He did his idea. But Cabinary is very clearly, like, Ichiro Kuchi is writing it, technically. But all the interviews and stuff seem to indicate that this is Araki's baby. Like, this is, oh, I love steam. Like, he likes, like, the inner workings of human bodies and machinery. He likes both of those things. So most of Cabaneri is showing you, like, the screw going into the thing and the aorta pumping out blood on top of the person's face and, you know, that kind of thing. Like, it's very visceral. And, yeah, it's a hell of a lot of fun. So, and the production work is like he's making his own Ghibli movie or something. Like, that's about how ambitious this thing feels. So, yeah, I'm just stoked to see what happens.
Yeah, I was super impressed with the way that episode looked. Like, obviously, this is, like, super labor of love. Mm-hmm. But what an odd thing to exist. It's so weird. It's such a weird thing. Like, I'm trying to think of a parallel. But it would be like if... let's say David Yates went off. David Yates is the guy who directed, like, a lot of the Harry Potter movies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, like, I think that's his name. I could be misremembering. The guy who directed, like, most of the Harry Potter movies. Mm-hmm. He went off and made his own boy wizard thing that was basically just Harry Potter with different names and, like, a slightly different setting.
Right.
That's the equivalent here.
Yeah, it's like David Yates made all the Harry Potter movies for Warner Brothers and then went, here's my own take on Boy Wizard, and it's significantly different and obviously thematically different, but it's still a Boy Wizard thing, like, with the same trappings. Like, people would be incensed, I think, and as rightfully so, they're kind of incensed at this Cabaneri thing, but at the same time, like, it's pretty, you know, it's pretty fun. I kind of figured, like, okay, I love this when the climax of the first episode is, without spoiling anything too heavily, the main character must choke himself to death before he can die. If that makes any sense, it does make sense in context, but in order to keep himself from dying, he has to first choke himself to death, and then he will live. Like, that's how dumb, like, that's how, yes, just go for it that this is. It's great. So, you know.
Yeah, the first episode struck me as, like, remarkably confident. Like, it was like, okay, these are my choices. Like, these are the choices I have made.
The choices I've made.
I know every fit. Like, this is what I wanted you to see. It's, like, plucked from my brain. That's what it felt like.
Right.
So, yeah, it was cool. I'm glad that show exists. I hope it kind of picks up. I wish it weren't on Amazon Prime because it feels like that is just limiting its audience.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Just limiting its audience. Like, if that was that guy's baby and he's like, oh, we got a deal with Amazon. That's great. It's like, I bet that sounded awesome. But the reality is fewer anime fans are going to see that as a result. Like, but I totally understood why they would take that because it sounds great.
Yeah.
You know,
the other big stuff this season's My Hero Academia. Apparently Sailor Moon Crystal is not crappy now.
Right. I love the way Sailor Moon Crystal looks now. It looks so good.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch Sailor Moon, but
it's like, I'm not going to watch it, but I'm glad that the fans of it are getting what they want, ostensibly.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that because I don't like Sailor Moon. It's pleasant enough, but I've seen Sailor Moon, and I feel like I don't really ever need to see, like, an episode of Sailor Moon again. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like, I tried it. It's just not for me.
It is the formula. I know that story. Like, I've read plenty of the manga. I saw all of Sailor Moon S and a lot of Sailor Moon Super S, unfortunately. But I feel like that's it. Like, I've had my Sailor Moon experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very much the same thing. So, anyway. Good. I'm really happy that show looks better because, like, that show kind of needed to look good and be good.
Yeah.
It was kind of important for the industry, so...
The last big thing that I can think of is Kiznaiver, which is just a giant question mark for everybody at this point. But
right, yeah, what a great opening! I love the opening theme.
Oh yeah, it was interesting.
The episode itself,
I'm not impressed. I will absolutely see what happens because it is ambitious and it's an original work, and I like Trigger. I love the way the show looks. I was not impressed with the writing. I was actively disimpressed with the writing. But that's okay. We'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't we'll see. I'm not quite sure to make it. There's I did see the first episode of The Lost Village, which made me laugh. Like, the bombast was really funny.
It was.
And I am kind of looking forward to, we have Nick Kremer reviewing that. I'm looking forward to reading about that, what happens in that show. I don't really want to watch it. I'd rather read about it, I think.
There are some fantastic lines of dialogue in the second episode where people, so there's 30 characters. None of them are dead yet. So we must assume that somebody's going to get killed, but they have lines like there's a circumstance where a girl is pestering the protagonist, like she's sort of like negging him for lack of a better explanation, and he responds with like she's like, "Am I making you nervous?" And he's like, "No, you don't make me nervous at all. I guess I guess I can be comfortable around girls. My friend told me like." That my libido would just get in the way of me being comfortable around women, but you don't bother me at all. And she's like, "Are you saying I'm not attractive? The only reason I was even coming on to you is Spew's entire character motivation that he reminds her of a lost boyfriend that she had." And then she covers her mouth like it was an accident. It's like, "Never mind, please forget you just heard my sordid backstory." Like, yeah, there's a lot of that, and it's pretty... The show is very entertaining so far, but it is... quite awful.
Goofy. Yes. I will probably keep up with My Hero Academia just to keep up with it, because it is such a big, hyped-up thing. Mm-hmm. So it feels like, all right, I should watch this. Also, it's entertaining and colorful, so that's it's not like it's really a chore. Nice it watch. Seems good,
yeah,
you know?
The design of... the design of, I guess, All Might's secret identity is really great. Like, it's really, like, if I was at first kind of turned off by the character designs of My Hero Academia, I thought maybe they were a little bit, like, I don't know, they were a little kid showy, like, especially the protagonist. But seeing a lot of the background heroes and stuff like that, there's some inspired design going on there. And the All Might's secret identity and a couple of the side heroes really, like, stand out as, like, oh, that's really neat. I haven't seen this kind of characterization before. I haven't seen, like, this expression through animation before. It was neat.
Cool.
So there's some neat stuff going on. Even it's a Shonen Jump show, but there's some neat stuff going on there.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, the other show everybody seen sort of came out of nowhere and everybody gushed about was Flying Witch, which is sort of a Yashike kind of a thing, right?
Yeah, it's great. I was not expecting to like that as much as I did, but it not because. I should say specifically, not because I thought it would be bad, but because Yashike is just not my genre. It's,
right.
Even though there are some Yashike shows I like, and I find, you know, like the genre is perfectly pleasant and everything, I like stuff with a little more bite. But Flying Witch was nice because it doesn't have any of the pretense of an Yashike thing that is like sort of fantastical. Like, here's your safe bubble of moe charm. It doesn't have that. It just seems like a bunch of normal Joes who probably have pretty boring whatever lives up in the mountains, except there's like magic sometimes and like a mandrake in the ground and stuff like that. So it just felt very homey. Like, it felt like a genuine healing atmosphere, and the comic timing is really great, and it has this sort of Studio Ghibli universality to it instead of being more otaku-y. And yeah, it was pleasant. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it's on my list. There's a few things I want to get to that I haven't seen. That is the first one. I'm going to watch the next Sakamoto. The first one basically was like, oh, okay, I'll just continue reading the manga.
Yeah.
Because the production value has kind of killed it. I thought the completely uncreative direction and production value has kind of killed it.
Yeah.
It's still funny, but that's just because the material was good.
Right.
But it
like,
was really, it was,
manga, I was rolling, but I realized that if I knew the punchlines, I probably would not be.
I thought it was bland, bordering on poor execution of really good material. Mm-hmm. Like, they still got the timing right on the jokes, which is important, but it looked ugly and bad doing it.
Yeah,
so,
it was very, very cheap looking.
Yeah.
But yeah, the timing, they didn't fuck it up, so I, having not read the manga ahead of time, I thought it was hilarious, but I can see why it would be really disappointing if you're already familiar with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Brings me to Ace Attorney, actually.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you want to talk about Ace Attorney.
Well, I mean, there's not much to add except that, like, well, there's... You could take this and do any number of fun, stylish things with it because you just basically have to keep the plot points intact and you can do kind of anything else you want. And they decided to make this broken, barely animated, like, copy-paste lines from the game thing. Like, man, I don't think they could have made that show less exciting. Not worse. They definitely could have made it worse. Less exciting is the problem, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, That's one of those things where it just feels like such a lost opportunity. Like, really? I understand it's just a commercial for the games. I know, but, man, just try to make... Like, because if it's really good, people will buy it and seek it out and sell it to their friends and shit. Like, if it's really good, people will turn out if you just, like, really put the effort in.
And people that have been fans of the games have been wanting an anime of it for a long time.
Yeah, right?
Because they wanted to see, like, the over-the-top reactions and witness destructions and stuff like that in the game. It's GBA graphics and no voice acting. And even the crappy version that we got, adding voice acting really did change a lot. Like, I was a little more engaged getting to hear the voices of those characters, but, you know, like, it just rings of wasted opportunity.
Yeah. What a shame. Well, hopefully it'll still, like, I'm hoping that show is just, you know, passable, and that the fans are like, well, alright, you know, whatever. Maybe we'll get a better one later on. Hopefully it won't salt the earth for any future material done with those character designs, because at the very least I'd like to see them animated nicely.
Yeah.
You know? Because those are sharp character designs. I've always liked them.
That was some... That's some potato-mation. Like, it's really under par. Really, yeah. Really low bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, the only thing I guess I'll bring up is I was weirdly okay with Kuma Miko, which was just sort of a raunchy, like, dumb comedy. Mm-hmm. That I thought was kind of funny. I didn't really have a major problem with it.
Yeah, it having seen the second episode, it seems like the formula is there is one joke, it will take 10 minutes to tell.
Well, I didn't say I was going to watch another one.
but I liked it. It's cute. Like, it's extremely cute, provided that you that cute for you is not broken by dirty jokes, because it is. But it doesn't feel like gross dirty. It's just kind of casual. I don't know. It's hard to explain. But yeah. It's charming. I found it really charming, but yeah, it's not laugh a minute. It is, there are two jokes, each one will take 10 minutes, but in between all of that, you get to see this adorable bear and these adorable country folk and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And, yeah, well, yeah, so, I mean, I guess we're sort of grousing here a bit, but, maybe it's been a long day or something, but it is it is a totally solid season. It's totally solid.
There's lots of good stuff. Like, the stuff that we didn't mention, like, Twin Star Exorcists, if you like, good animation for a basic shonen premise, and then Bungo Stray Dogs is the big Fujoshi thing this season, and there's lots of stuff.
Yeah, good stuff.
But, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The chat mentions ReZero is the worst thing that this particular person has seen so far, and I will not say it's the worst thing that I saw this season.
You didn't see Super Lovers.
I saw Super Lovers.
I was referring to the person in the chat.
The person in the chat. No, close to ReZero. The opposite of what I want from a show.
Yeah.
Just the opposite. I was like, nope, nope.
I can't remember the last time I've seen a show that was that protracted in delivering the most basic plot points. Like,
I don't need you to explain 4 times why you just did that. I really don't.
is the end of a 45-minute, like, a double-length first episode, and the main character still has not realized, like, that he has this time travel power that is the basis of the premise that you know going in. The first shot of the episode is like, oh, obviously this is going to incorporate time travel. 45 minutes later, the protagonist still does not realize that he has gone back in time twice. This has happened to him twice. He still can't tell. He thinks it's like, oh, I woke up the next day, I must have slept really hard. How come no one remembers me? It's like, oh my god, stop. Stop. Stop right now.
I just can't. That main character just needs to... He just takes too long to figure things out, and when he thinks he's like, I know all these tropes, and I know everything, but what it means is that he just stands there and explains absolutely everything that's happening to him in this incredibly weird base language that, like, whatever, man.
Nobody speaks like a person in it.
I'm backing away from ReZero.
Yeah.
Backing away. Anyway. Let's see here. Okay, so we got some Twitter questions. Normally we would talk about, like, movies and stuff. We haven't seen... There hasn't been a reason to go to the movies in weeks. Not since, Batman v. Superman. Duh. We don't need to go over that again.
No.
All right, well, let's get to some Twitter questions before we take some questions from the chat here. CC Takato asks... Well, speaking of which, was Wonder Woman really the only good part about Batman v Superman? No, I mean, who didn't love the jar of piss? or the Batmonster bursting out of Bruce Wayne's mother's grave.
But my mother's name is Martha.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Martha.
There was so many good parts. So many good parts. Let's see here. Final Fury K asks, how are you guys doing? I hope you're doing well. You seem like nice enough people. Well, first of all, thank you.
Oh,
second of all, I'm doing pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Same here.
Doing pretty good.
Pretty good.
All right. TD Crimson King asks, either of you interested in the American Attack on Titan comic coming out? That's the one that's like an anthology, right? So it's a bunch of different artists and a bunch of different stories.
I haven't heard a whole lot about it, but I'd be interested in looking.
Yeah, I flipped through it. To say that I would be like excited, no. Sounds neat. I've flipped through it.
Yeah, that franchise is firmly in puzzle box territory at this point. So it's like if it's not related to the main canon, it's hard to say I would be excited about it.
Yeah,
because it's just a matter of okay, what happens next, or what's the answer to this?
You know? Yeah, I think it's going to be like Gotham Knight for Attack on Titan.
Yeah,
like yeah. Except they don't make those OVAs anymore.
But yes.
Yeah, they don't make those OVAs anymore, but yeah.
Remember B-Train Batman? He was so
Bishonen. I liked B-Train. I remember
Batman was so Bishonen, it was weird.
I remember giving B-Train Batman like the best score out of Gotham. I think I gave that the highest score out of the Gotham Knight.
It was like, who is this bewitching feminine fellow? It's Batman.
Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
Okay, somebody wrote their question on a piece of paper.
Awesome.
And took a photo of it. And that's cute. Thanks. Alright, Lily Woods asks, has either of you guys or someone else watched and reviewed the Psycho Pass Extended Edition? I found that the added content seemed to help flesh out the narrative. The added content bits were not huge chunks. So they added to it, but they weren't giant things. This question continues, but the base is there. You watched the extended edition.
I did.
You didn't review that one, though, right, specifically?
No, it wasn't out, and it hasn't been released yet. I don't know if Funimation is releasing it soon.
Isn't that the Blu-ray?
No, that's the original show.
That's still not out? That's like 4 years old or something, right?
Well, yes, but the lag time between Psycho Pass when it was released on TV and when they re-aired the show with the extended bits is literally the distance between the first show and the sequel, which is a couple years. So
right, okay.
They had already released it out here before the extended edition had even happened. So,
I see. Okay, I was mistaken.
But once it was out, I took a look at it, and yeah, that improves the show a lot. And it is literally 3 minutes of content per two episodes. So what they did for the extended edition is they turned it into 11 episodes that are 40 minutes long, like more like a drama procedural, like, you know, a Law and Order, like the length of a Law and Order instead of an anime length. And they bumped it up by adding 3 minutes of new content to every one of those 11 episodes. And it really improves it because they just tie the villain in very early. Like, the original airing of the show, the villain is so important to understanding why that show works, and the villain shows up in a like preview of a very end at the front of the show, but then he goes away, and you don't really. It just seems episodic, and you don't really realize that he's behind it all. So the extended edition just laces the villain in. It gives him more psychology. It gives him more character moments. It gives Kogami, his nemesis, more character moments. Like all of that stuff just really made the whole thing feel more cohesive. And yeah, it was better. It was like, oh, this is the version I want on Blu-ray. So if Funimation is putting that on a Blu-ray soon, that would be great. Because 3 minutes of content added to 40, believe it or not, can make a show a lot better, apparently. So
it's So it's like a Kingdom of Heaven situation where, well, no, not a Kingdom of Heaven situation. It's one of those things where you like the original cut, but the extended, you're like, how did they leave this stuff out? Like, it was pretty important.
Yeah, it's just, you kind of can't get enough of that villain. The villain is the best part of Psycho Pass. I mean, there's a lot of good things, but it's the best part of it. And so adding more of him early on when he's not present is always a good thing. So, yeah.
Invalid Name asks, what do you make of this? It costs so much to subscribe to all the anime streaming services post that's going around. I only saw this briefly. I don't think I follow quite enough Anna Twitter people to have seen it a lot. But I saw it briefly. I guess it's a meme that sort of like lists how much it costs to subscribe to every streaming service that has anime. And it's complaining that the price is too high, I guess. Like, oh, it costs X amount per month to watch every season, everything that comes out in a given season. As though that is the baseline level of acceptable access to programming.
Right.
Absolutely everything from one season, from dozens and dozens of companies in Japan. And you want to somehow get every single show in one fucking place as though the world isn't capitalist?
In cases,
I guess so.
In cases where there's like, there's some companies I think on that list that don't even have exclusivity to things. So they're counting like the Anime Network, even though the Anime Network doesn't have any exclusives this season except for maybe one short or something. You know, like, a lot of these extra linked places, like, have, content that another place has, so you don't need to double up. Like, I don't, you know.
It's just expecting, like, if what you're saying is, it's not fair that we don't have literally everything from this entire industry in one place, I would say that you have incredibly unrealistic standards, and expectations of the way content is produced, who produces it, how it gets distributed, for what reasons it gets distributed. Like, it doesn't, to have literally all of it in one place for you at a low, low price is like, it's just, that's not rooted in reality. And I don't like to see that, like, and the reason I guess I sound a little like about this is because I don't like to see that argument being taken seriously because it's totally specious. It's totally specious.
And it also assumes that you don't have legal access to this stuff if you don't subscribe to all these places. But you do. You just have to wait a week. These places offer these offer episodes 1 week after simulcast. If you really have to see it, like, that day, then, yeah, pay for the service. But for the most part, you can see almost everything from a given season in two places. One of two places will have it, with the exception of a couple fall-throughs. But if it's a major enough thing, one of two places.
Not only that, like, I mean, and a lot of these services, like, if you wait a week or maybe a little longer than that, usually it's like a week, you can watch pretty much 70-some percent of the season for free.
Mm-hmm.
So, what, I mean, I guess it's to the, like, this is where I'm at.
I would say 90%, frankly.
This is where I'm at. I've been doing this too long to not see what we have is good, and that it's staring me right in the face, so I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth and then start bitching that, well, now this isn't good enough. Like, this is good enough.
Yeah.
I think it's good enough. I think we have the solution. We talked about Amazon moving into the space, right? And we talked about how potentially that has some downsides.
Right.
But we think we were done with anime? Like, no one else is ever going to attempt to do this again? Like, yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like there's a lot of reality out there that people don't want to recognize when they make like those memes, man. I just like, you know,
if you have a subscription to Crunchyroll and Funimation, you're gonna get like 90% of the season. If you have a subscription to only one of those, you can still have 90% of the season, but half of it you have to wait a week instead of watching it that day. Like, but that's great, you know. Like, and if you have a subscription to none of those places, you can still watch 90% of the season as long as you wait a week.
Yeah.
And don't have to see the day come.
Yeah, the chat's bringing this up, and I do want to point out, I do think that global availability is a much bigger thing to tackle than, oh no, there's more than three or four services.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I want to watch all of my movies, my digital movies, I have to have two or three different things.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just the way it works. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it goes. Like, there are competing companies. but yeah, I think global availability is one of those things where it's like, maybe fix that first. that's a little bit more of a thing, especially if you want to continue to monetize it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, similar question. Jose CNN asks, what's your personal favorite streaming box? You watch just about everything on the computer.
Right? Yeah, because, well, you usually have to take notes.
Yeah.
So I want to have Word open.
And screen caps.
And screen caps is essential for work. And so when I watch something on the television, it's for fun, and when I'm working, it's on the computer.
Right. Yeah, for streaming stuff, I use a PS4 on the TV. I still think that's the best. The PS3 was the best media solution in the previous 10 years, and the PS4 is the best media solution, like streaming box and everything in this current time as well, unless you want to build like a media PC. I just use that for everything. But, I mean, I've tried some of the other stuff. Like, I have one of those Amazon Fire Sticks, and it's kind of a piece of shit. Like, I mean, it's great that it's cheap, and it is a cool solution if you need something compact and cheap. But the interface on those things is junky, and the quality's not that great. You feel like you're getting something that's barely functioning. Yeah. So, yeah. Let's see here. Otaku's underscore something. Sorry, brother. Have you or Jacob had a chance to watch Ajin on Netflix? Any interest? I'm interested in that. I want to go check that out. I haven't had a chance to yet. Have you taken a look?
I have not. I've been too busy. However, I am. I would have gone faster. I would have been like, yes, I want to see this immediately. If it wasn't 3D CG, because it is, I am pretty
sure. Oh, it's completely 3D CG. That's right. I keep forgetting that and then remembering it. And when I remember it, it makes me not want to watch the
like,
show.
Like, for instance, Netflix has Kuramukuro, and I'm interested in watching Kuramukuro. Or checking it out and, like, voicing an opinion on it and stuff like that. But, and when Netflix, the minute they say that they have that, when the show's basically over, probably, then I will look at it. Ajin, because it is 3D CG, I'm like, oh, a week or two. Like, I just, the technology's not there yet. So yeah. I know that even if the story's good, like, I'm preparing myself to watch something that's badly animated. So it's like, no.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Somebody asks, somebody. MJKS asks, is Scarlett Johansson's Matlock hair really a wig? Inquiring minds want to know. So we should talk about this because this is a big controversy.
Right.
Today, the very first shot of Scarlett Johansson as Motoko Kusanagi.
Maybe. They're going with Major Kusanagi.
It's so funny to say that.
I know.
Right? Like,
and it's like, no.
Nope.
Well, yeah. and that's the thing. The reason people are reacting to that wig, not only is it a bad wig, but that wig basically proves that when ScarJo was cast as the Major, people were like, well, you know, you could take Ghost in the Shell. It's not intrinsically like, oh, Japanese. It must be Japanese characters in a Japanese setting. It's not that way. So we didn't know what they were going to do. She could just be blonde. She could be brunette. She, you know, you could just be, like, kind of liberal with the idea, keep the character the same, and not try to do this weird race-bending thing. But we saw that picture with the bad Asian hair wig, and it's like, oh, no. Like, that's the issue, is that they're trying to pass her off as some sort of, like, half-Asian or, like, Asian cyber body or something. And it's like, you didn't have to do this. You can, if you can't or will refuse to cast an Asian woman in the lead, which, you know, is bad, but I understand at least the thoughts behind it, wanting a headliner and oops, because of the history of Hollywood, we don't have, like, a really giant A-list star Asian actress for this role. Like, you know, you dug your own grave, but whatever, lie in it and cast the character as a white woman. But doing this white woman in disguise as an Asian lady and has an Asian name, like, that's like, like, that's what people are like, are you kidding me? Like, this is uncomfortable. You're just making it worse. You're making it worse. It's like,
yeah.
You had a troublesome situation and you are making it worse.
Well, it doesn't help that the photo looks bad.
It does.
It's Scarlett Johansson in a shitty anime wig. like a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, we cast her as the Major. Look at this, and you're like, come on.
Yeah,
all right, take the cosplay wig off, come on. But I don't want to be like, that's one fucking screenshot. Like, it's so unfair. That's so unfair to sit there and dump all over it just because of that one thing.
Yeah.
So I'll just wait for the next 18 things I see to be awful looking, and then I'll judge.
Yeah.
Look, we have no reason to expect that to be good. We also kind of don't have any idea what it's going to be like. So, skepticism is founded, but I feel like being, like, it's okay. I feel like, of course, we're all going to make fun of this thing. But I am sincere that I am taking a wait-and-see approach.
Yeah.
I mean that.
And I think that, the casting in it, on the surface, looked good. When you see the names matched with the characters, it's like, okay, I could see this movie, but you have to kind of play it off well, and no, this seems like a thoughtless sort of, this is Goku played by, what was his name in Dragon Ball Evolution?
Oh god, I don't remember anymore.
But it's like that, where it's like, oh no, like, and people have mentioned Edge of Tomorrow, like, so Edge of Tomorrow, it just took the concept and it adapted it pretty well and just set it, and, you know, and nobody was decrying, like, the fact that this guy's name is not Keiji or whatever, because they completely committed to the adaptive challenge of just making it a story set in the West without this weird half-assed, like, cosplay, uncomfortable cultural stuff. Like, this seems more uncomfortable, middle ground, guys try harder than this, you know, and it makes people upset with good reason, so.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Justin okay. Chatwin, the chat informs me.
Yeah, Justin Chatwin.
Goku. It's like, guys, no, just stop it.
Kaylin Evergreen asks, do you have favorite horror anime? You know, I feel like I get this question. I get asked that a lot. And, like, I mean, the stuff that I like the most is stuff like, Hellsing is not a horror show. I guess it is, but...
I
guess
say,
that's what it would go under.
I would say Hellsing Ultimate counts maybe a little more.
Yeah, sure, I guess.
But it's still primarily just like a really yeah. gory action show.
You know, I like Vampire Hunter D Bloodlust. That's horror. Okay. It's just like, anytime anyone asks horror, it's like, oh, scary. And it's like, well, there's no scary anime, but like what, right. you know, what, yeah. So.
I mean, I my go-to on that, I feel like if I thought harder, like, I guess I can add Tokyo Ghoul, but Tokyo Ghoul has genuinely horrific underpinnings. It's an action anime with a lot of blood, but it's not just horror for that reason. It has very upsetting societal underpinnings as this creeping dread, you know, all the stuff you might associate with horror. But my go-to, when people talk about a horror anime, and I'm like, oh, you mean, like, the tone, not just this has a lot of blood in it, is Higurashi, because... This is a perfectly pleasant, like, little mountain town scenario that doesn't have, like, a lot of blood or violence or anything, but it's just this sense of creeping dread that eventually ends in tragedy thing. And it's like, yeah, that's genuinely horrific. Higurashi is genuinely scary at points. So, yeah. But for the most part, yeah, anime tends to go for, like, bloody, but it's not supposed to be scary. It's supposed to be fun, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you know, yeah, Tokyo Ghoul, I guess.
Sure.
He rides the line, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, and somebody in the chat has also mentioned Paranoia Agent, like,
yeah.
clone stuff. You know, like, yeah, but that's just rarer. Like, that kind of, that genre is rarer, I would say. Usually yeah. blood in anime, blood and gore and horrific imagery is dime a dozen in anime, but it's usually not supposed to be frightening or tense or jumpy. It's just supposed to be a spectacle for its own sake.
I want to do a podcast on Higurashi at some point.
Yeah,
I feel like that would be. Yeah, I've always meant to see that. I've played it like a little bit of that game
no.
with that great art, no. and yeah, and it yeah, I'd much rather watch the show than click through that game, click through that book. Yeah,
Reina has got the gout. I see.
Yeah.
The mountain town has got some sort of disease that turns everybody's hands into oven mitts.
All right. So an anonymous person in the chat asks, do you think we'll get a Ghost in the Shell Innocence re-release once the live-action movie comes out? I mean, sure, and God, I hope so. Like, yeah. Man. I would like to have that. I don't have that. I have the Bandai Visual Oniamis Jinro, which used to go for like $800, but I don't have Innocence. It sucks. Man, there were times too when I would see it used, and I'd be like, "Eh, I'll wait till it gets a little cheaper," and then it just dried up, and I never saw
gone.
It again.
Yeah.
Horrible. Let's see here. Jesse B asks, "Do you think Criterion will ever touch the works of Satoshi Kon, Mamoru Oshii, etc.?" I mean, I think I'm past the point of thinking that those guys need that kind of validation. I mean. It would be nice, but even then, they'll still be considered like, oh, yes, well, those go in their own little box of Criterions, along with the, like, Watership Down, and, you know, the few other anime movies they've put out. Mm-hmm. Like, the cineasts that you want to take anime seriously as a result of legitimizing it through the Criterion Collection likely will not, or already do. In many cases, already do take Satoshi Kon and Oshii pretty seriously.
Right.
And, you know, I guess the bonus to those is to have the Criterion treatment, but then you have to get in, like, companies that these studios work with constantly have materials problems like you would not believe. Yeah. So, like, Criterion would have to send someone, a specialist, maybe, it's something expensive, maybe, to go in and produce all those extras.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that would be... Like, I can kind of see this from a lot of different angles. I would love a Criterion Collection Satoshi Kon box set or something like that. Like, for a long time, I thought, like, that would be the Holy Grail. Like, I carried that around. Like, hey, this should exist. Mm-hmm. But over time, I felt like, those guys are legends. I'm not sure, you know.
I would settle for better, or like, Blu-ray availability of most of his filmography in any form.
Because, well, the Kon stuff, know. Yeah, a lot of it you can get still. Mm-hmm. Like, Sony printed a lot of Paprika, so it's everywhere still for, like, $10.
Yeah, Paprika, yes. Most of the others,
no. Most of the others, no. I guess that's true, yeah.
Like, in Paprika, my least favorite of his stuff, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, all right. Do we have any other questions from the chat? We got to wrap up here pretty soon. Since the Hunter x Hunter dub will be premiering on Toonami this week, will there be a Hunter x Hunter and cast in the future? So we get asked about Hunter x Hunter. Did you watch Hunter x Hunter?
I did for a while. I stopped at some point in the 30s, episode-wise. They were in a giant tower battling people, and the clown Hisoka was there. And that's where I stopped, because I didn't really want to hang out with Gon and Killua all that much. I was kind of curious what Kurapika and Leorio were doing, and they were not. It's just Gon and Killua for most of it, and I was not really into it, so, yeah.
Yeah. I've seen the old one, like, a lot of it. I've seen a lot of the old one, actually. Yeah. I saw a bunch of that. I can't remember exactly how much. It's been a long time, too, but a lot of people have recommended the Madhouse show to me. A lot of people. And like I said, we get asked about it a lot. So the thing is that show is very long.
It's very long.
And we really can't do a podcast on a show that's that long. So I'll have to think about it, mm-hmm. but I would like to cover it.
Yeah, and I do think that for me, just me personally, this isn't like a judgment or anything, it's just kind of how I felt watching it. Like, the thing that people like about Hunter x Hunter is actually kind of the thing that turned me off to it, which is that the idea of who a hunter is and what they do is so broad that it means anything. Like, it's just whatever weird character Togashi wanted to come up with, he made it. And every town and location is completely different. And it's not just in a One Piece way where they're kind of all... There's a maritime thing and there's, like, merpeople and marines. Hunter x Hunter is just very loosey-goosey whatever. And I kind of just couldn't really get into that. Like, I wanted a little bit more rules. I wanted a little more structure. I don't know. Hunter x Hunter is so meandery. And as far as Togashi's perspective, which is interesting, like, Togashi, for a Shonen Jump writer, like, has things to say and can be very... shockingly, like, in tune with human nature and like, some shades of gray and stuff like that. I got all that from Yu Yu Hakusho, which I have seen absolutely all of and really, really like. So I got that from Yu Yu Hakusho, and even if Hunter x Hunter is better or whatever later on, like, in the early going, I was like, okay, I get it, but this is too broad. So that was my personal issue with it, I guess.
Right. Let's see here. Let's wrap up with this one. Groovin asks, are you playing any visual novels or games lately? What about you?
I haven't had the time to, but, of the visual novels that I want to play, the next one that I want to play is this little game called We Know the Devil.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is, was cheap on Steam recently. It started out as web browser only, which is why I didn't play it, because I want, like, a game that's on my PC that has, like, saved my routes and stuff. So, but it's on Steam, and so I got it recently, and I haven't started playing it, but I've heard nothing but praise for it, so... Yeah, it's just like a little visual novel that's about an ex-gay camp. Like, kids that have nicknames that aren't their real names or whatever, and they're kind of sketchily drawn, has this, like, weird, vague art style, and they go to, like, an ex-gay camp and have to navigate this, like, horror thing. I don't know. It's interesting, so I want to play that. And then I have a bunch of other stuff that I could play, but I have a bunch of other work to do, and like, I kind of have to work on my game when I have time for games. Like, that's the curse. I can't play visual novels now, because anytime I start to play one, my brain goes, why aren't you working on yours? And it's like, right. So that's a bit of a curse.
Yeah. I stopped playing video games for a few months. It's just life kind of happened. And then I bought Stardew Valley. And then played that for, like, a month. I'm still playing that. I think I'll probably play that for, like, a long time. Like, that's one of those things where it's like, I'll check in with it every couple weeks, even if I haven't been playing it, you know, in a while. Mm-hmm. Super good. Like, if you liked Harvest Moon, and I never mm-hmm. really played Harvest Moon, but I kind of always wanted to. And this is, like, that, but better. I don't know. It's really good. And then I bought Dark Souls 3, of course. Yeah, because you gotta. And I started playing that. It looks great, plays great and everything. Little repetitive on the visual assets, but I'm not very far in, so I'm not going to complain about it too much. It's very much greatest hits of Dark Souls, which is cool. I'm excited about finally digging into that. I think I'll get to do that this weekend because we won't be working every single second on Preview Guide. It'll be nice. That wraps us up. All right, guys. Thanks for hanging out. Appreciate it. Always appreciate when you stop by the show. Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to the audience for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating or review. We'd really appreciate it. And I'll see you all next week.